But today I hear only one sound. The moment we're living is now. Now, 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 now.
Welcome back to the Bruce Salin Show, A Dad's Point of View, and thank you both Neil Diamond for writing that and Elvis Presley for performing that wonderful song, which introduces the men's room every week. It is time for the men's room with Wayne Levine. Wayne Levine is a life coach for men, couples, and families. He's the director of BetterManCoaching.com in Agoura Hills, California, where he facilitates men's groups and men's retreats. BetterManCoaching.com's mission is to help men be the best men, fathers, and husbands they can be. Welcome back to the show, Wayne.
Good morning, Bruce.
How are you today on this absolutely beautiful day in Southern California?
Yeah, it's beautiful here, and unfortunately the rest of the country is getting hit.
Well, those fires are really scary. I mean, the irony is on one side of the country we're burning up, and the other side we're washing away. That gives you a sense of not only the peculiarity of weather, but the incredible size of the continental United States, which I think a lot of people don't realize how big we are. It absolutely is. But we're talking about graduating into life, and I haven't explained to my listeners what I meant by that. And the whole column was inspired by attending a ritual that most families attend at one point or another, which is graduation. And I attended my older son, my firstborn son, high school graduation. And prior to the actual event, I was not very emotional. And that was because I guess we think of high school graduation as, a done deal. I mean, not many kids don't graduate, certainly among my friends and family. So I was much more excited by my son's acceptance into the Berklee College of Music and much more interested and excited about, you know, that journey that he'll be taking. But attending the graduation made me realize that if all goes well, he is leaving home. He's 18 and a half, and he really is graduating into life. And where he goes from here during his college experience and otherwise was what the thrust of the column was. You have any thoughts in response to that,
yeah,
Mr. Levine?
You know, we have rituals that are supposed to mark passages in a young man's life. And graduation's a big one. Certainly leaving high school can be a big change. I don't know how, if it is that big of a transition for a lot of kids, you know, those who are still being coddled, I don't know if graduation means a whole lot.
Those that end up staying at home Afterwards, going to a local college.
Yes. Now, which is not a bad thing.
No, but not at all, except for the coddling part.
Right. And so I think to really graduate into life, us parents have to participate in a different way. We have to allow that relationship to change, which is very difficult if the kids are still living at home.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And so going away certainly can help that transition happen, but as a lot of parents know, when their kids go to college and they're immature children and they get into a lot of trouble because it's the first time they've ever smelled and tasted freedom, it's not so much the transition they were hoping for.
Yes, indeed.
All of our discussions that we have always come back, seemingly, to our responsibility as parents to teach our kids right from wrong and to prepare them to be self-sufficient in life. And I'm not so sure we're doing a very good job of that.
I would agree with you. It's something I write about and speak about often, and I assert that one of the reasons we're not doing as good a job is the incredible pace and hectic lifestyles most of us are living, the single-parent households and the dual-working households, so that instead of sticking to a consequence, for instance, a lot of parents just feel so guilty and bad that they let it go, and then you have divorcing couples where they each want to be the nice guy to their kids, and then discipline is thrown out the window altogether. So it's a changed world as far as parents.
Yes, and you know, and in terms of our culture really embracing ritual, it's not something that we do terribly well. And you know, I don't know if how much of an impact it's having, but I suspect it's having a big impact. You know, we talk about in the Jewish culture bar mitzvah, mm-hmm. and it's supposed to be a boy's ascension into manhood, but it's not. Really, And I've talked about this quite a bit, that boy,
it's not really anymore. It was.
Anymore. Yeah. It's become, like so many rituals that had meaning in the past, it's become a party and an opportunity for one-upsmanship in communities. And, you know, we see that, you know, some really drastically in some communities where they're spending, you know, enough money to buy a house on some of these parties.
Well, I find the biggest irony is that there has been a movement, I'm sure you're aware of it, among non-Jewish families. In response to their friends having these bar mitzvahs, non-Jewish kids in some cases are saying, you know, I want a bar mitzvah. I want a party. I want presents. And so non-Jews are throwing faux bar mitzvahs. I mean, this is real. And so that their 13-year-old can have a big party and get presents and be the center of attention too. They just throw out the little unessential things like the religious aspect of it.
Yeah, and so just a great example of parents really having no compass, you know, in terms of sort of having standards about what's really important, and just sort of acquiescing to the pressures of the peer pressures. And that's the last thing the parents need to do for the kids. The kids have enough trouble dealing with peer pressure.
You know, it's interesting. We've talked about the maturity of your son as he's gone through his college life. And I got a very interesting, joyful thing from my own son that was a consequence of his graduating high school and a consequence of his getting accepted to the Berklee College of Music. Because I was such an irresponsible parent and paid my bills and saved some money and never got arrested or developed a horrible addiction, and when I got divorced, I stayed instead of left. If I had not done those things, my kids might have qualified for financial aid. Instead, we don't qualify for anything. And the cost of the school that he got into and wants to go to is quite extreme. And I'm able to do it. It's not going to be easy, but I'm able to do it. And my son saw and experienced a number of his fellow graduates getting into fine schools, and their parents could not afford to send them. And now these kids are not going to the schools that they wanted to go to. In many cases, the parents are feeling horrible about it, but they don't have a choice due to their own mismanagement of money and or poor luck and or just the consequences of the last few years of our economy. And the upshot that was such a shock to me is that instead of just simply expecting it, which was sort of the case during the application procedure for my son, as he learned other kids could not get into the schools that they were accepted into and he was able to, he started to really be appreciative in ways I've almost never seen. And that's a level of maturity that I went, holy cow, that's terrific.
My friend Mike, who you know, will say that we have certain lessons to teach our kids, but some of the biggest lessons life will teach them.
Hmm.
And we need to allow life to teach our kids, which is something that we are reluctant to do because we're afraid of them getting hurt.
Well, you and I have talked about that a lot. The whole notion of not allowing our kids to fail is one of the stupidest things you can do. You protect them, of course. You know, if a kid's going to walk into the street and get hit by a car, obviously you pull them back. But in other ways that are less destructive, we need to let them learn. And that's what you and I have hit on many, many times.
And my son's is 21 now, and he's got his an internship he's doing up in the Bay Area. So he's going to learn this summer a little bit of the reality of what this career he might be pursuing would look like. And there's still a lot of mentoring that can be done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you have that kind of relationship with your young adult children, there's mentoring, but it can't be lecturing.
Right.
Just teaching. And, you know, so I still do a bit of it, but I can see that I waste my breath quite a bit, and I see that he's just going to have to experience what that frustration is going to be when he follows his own counsel rather than maybe a more experienced counsel.
Well said, and I understand totally. Wayne, we're out of time. Where can our listeners find you?
I'm at BetterMenCoaching.com, and men could find my book and see what we're doing to coach men to be better fathers and husbands.
That's BetterMenCoaching.com. Thank you, Wayne.
Thanks, Bruce.
It is time for a break. You can tweet me at Bruce Allen, email me at Bruce@BruceAllen.com. We will be back with Family Financial Matters and Michael Snow White.
This world's been blessed with a thing called love. Can't see it with your eyes, hold it in your hand. But like the wind, it covers our land. Strong enough to rule the heart of any man, this thing called love. It can lift you up, it can let you down. Take your world spinning all around. Ever since time, nothing's ever been found stronger than love.